Good morning. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru and the owner of Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan in Greenville, Tennessee. And boy, have we been selling the Nissans. Goodness. Nissan has really got their act together. There for a while, they had that CEO that got arrested. His name was Carlos Ghosn. You know, I think he's from France. But anyway, he was a smooth operator and really did wonderful things for Nissan for a long time. But apparently got greedy. I don't know exactly what happened. But Nissan is really hitting some home runs with their product right now. I've been very impressed with the all-new Nissan Rogue. It's selling great for us and for all the Nissan dealers in the Southeast region. Direct competitor for like the Honda CR-V, the Toyota RAV4, a couple Hyundais, a Kia. But it's their design themes are very design approach is very cohesive now. You know, I don't like it when every single product that a company makes looks totally different and there's no family resemblance. I like to see some family resemblance. The new Pathfinder is getting ready to come out. It's like a stretch it's like a stretch Rogue. They're putting an all-new transmission in it. I've actually experienced that transmission pulling my trailer. I have a 12-foot trailer that I pulled to Hilton Head for vacation this year. We carry a lot of kayaks and bicycles, and you can't imagine the stuff that we have to take to the beach for four babies, a 12-year-old, and three families. But anyway, it's a lot of stuff. Requires a trailer. Probably the trailer's pushing 2,500 pounds, I would say. And I pulled it behind that Nissan because of a failure of a battery on my F-150. I was not happy that morning. But anyway, the Nissan did really well. It's got a 3.8-liter, 315-horsepower V6, which is new. And it did great. But that new 9-speed automatic transmission is awesome. You know, all those gears. People say, what the heck do you need 9 speeds for? Because it's better than 6. You know, it just allows the engine to stay in its ideal rev range. You know, that's when I say revs, I'm talking about the tachometer, the engine revolutions, the RPMs, you may have heard. When you can stay in the sweet spot in terms of RPM, whether you're towing something or just driving down the road or going through the mountains, just makes for a more pleasant driving experience. And these multi-gear transmissions are amazing, and they're reliable. You know, I remember probably early 70s when I first started driving, the automatics were reliable, but they only had 2 speeds. Chevrolet had a 2-speed transmission called a Power Glide. And you take off in first gear, shift to second gear, and that's all she wrote. Now, they did have some 3-speed automatics, but that was pretty much it. You had a torque converter in the transmission, basically a fluid-filled orb. Looks like those spacecraft that's been flying around lately, if you believe that. But anyway, the torque converter is filled with fluid and it spins around, and there's a loss of efficiency there. And they came out, you know, in the 80s with these lockup torque converters that would kind of, instead of using fluid to drive the vehicle, they actually used clutches, and they locked the torque converter up. So instead of having, you know, the inherent inefficiency that you have with spinning fan blades in the with having fluid drive the car, it was actually a direct connection and led to better fuel economy, more efficiency. Well, now they not only have lockup torque converters, but they have multi-gears. The new F-150, the new Silverado, the Camaro, the Mustang, they all use a jointly developed 10-speed automatic transmission. Now, one thing that you'll notice on these multi-speed transmissions, especially early on in your ownership cycle, is that they get confused at times. And it's not a character flaw. It's just they're trying to learn you and how you drive. Yep, your car is learning you. The new Mach-E Mustang even watches you. It's got little cameras that are looking right at your face. And it's wondering, are your eyes open or are they getting droopy? It wants to make sure that you're paying attention. So that's pretty cool. You know, I'm really looking forward for them to come out with a vehicle that sniffs you too. Not if you understand what I'm saying. I mean, if you've been drinking. So that it will lock down the car if it smells the presence of alcohol. So anyway, that would be a great thing. Probably save a lot of lives. But anyway, these transmissions evolved. I remember the first time they came with a 4-speed automatic. Oh, we thought the world was great then. And then the 5-speed automatic, and then the 6-speed. And then now we have 10 speeds, and who knows what will be next. Now, those are automatics with gears. There are automatics without gears, and those are called CVT, constant velocity, or continuously variable. Sorry, I always say constant velocity. Why do I do that? I'm thinking CV joint. But anyway, the continuously variable transmission is kind of what you'll find on four-wheelers, side-by-sides, golf carts. They're used in other applications. But these are transmissions that don't use gears. They use belts and chains to continuously change the gear ratio as you accelerate. And they are very, very efficient. Honda uses them, Toyota, Nissan, a lot of companies use them in their smaller cars. They are not real good for towing. And not really, they can't really handle the stresses of a big trailer on the back of it. So they don't recommend them. I mean, they have towing parameters. I mean, you can tow probably 3,000, 3,500 pounds with some CVTs. You know, there have been some growing pains as far as CVTs, but overall they're pretty much perfected now. I prefer the gears. I'm just a gearhead, and I like gears in my transmission. So, you know, manuals are kind of making their way back a little bit. You know, the you can't buy a high-performance car now with a manual transmission. Porsche has finally relented a little bit because of the owner base says, we want 7 speeds. We want 7 speeds, so now they're making them. Chevrolet does the same with their... Now, I don't know if the new C8 Corvette even has a manual. I don't think it does. I think it's a dual-clutch manual that shifts automatically. I know. It's over my head, too, sometimes. But these dual-clutch transmissions are what are used in race cars now. When you see Formula One race cars, you see Le Mans racing, road racing cars, high-end Porsches and BMWs, or not BMWs, but Ferraris, Lamborghinis, all of them have automatic transmissions that you can shift manually. Porsche calls theirs PDK, and I won't try to tell you in German how to pronounce that. It's just, they've got little paddles, you know, on either side of the steering wheel, one to go up, one to go down. And they are much quicker around a track than shifting manually. So anyway, that's all I have to say about transmissions for today. We'll take our first break, and we'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, we're back. You know, sometimes I like to talk about motivational things. You know, we all need something to get us going sometimes, and there are certain things that I will reach for that make a difference and help me get started. You know, I find that if I start my day right, then I'll end up having a better day overall. And most of the time that involves exercising my faith and getting in touch with my beliefs in God. And the power that gives me isn't available from anything else. Now, there are other sources of really good information that can make a difference. I'm always on the lookout for something. I have really been an advocate of John Maxwell, not George. I'm thinking of a George. I can't think of any. But John Maxwell is a great source of information. I bought a series of books many years ago, and it was like Attitude 101 was the first one I bought, and then Leadership 101 and Relationships 101. Just little small little books that give you just a good little shot of motivation. And also, I was so impressed with the book that I ended up buying them for all my salespeople and passed them out. And I went around and started asking salespeople if they'd read them. And sheepishly, they would say, "Nah, haven't really read it yet, but I'm going to." Well, I figured out that you don't buy books for people. They need to buy their own books. If you want to make sure somebody's reading something, you read it to them. So that's what we did. I had the guys get their books together, and we came into the meeting room. And one morning, instead of doing a regular sales meeting at 8:30, I said, "Guys, we're going to read chapter one of this book." And we read it. And at the end of the meeting, no fewer than three people came up to me and said, "Lenny, that was the best meeting I've had or we've had in a long time. I really appreciate it." You know, there's just some things that people need to hear. I think about the way we transact with other human beings sometimes. There's different levels of communication, as you all probably recognize and know. Most of our communication is kind of transactional, right? You know, where we're just doing the business of the day, either within our family. It could be at work, where we're just communicating, you know, just to get stuff done. And then there's the more in-depth kind of a conversation where you're actually talking and listening about issues. I don't do that enough. I've never been that great at that. I'm always too busy and engaged in the transactional stuff, and it's so important. As I get older, I realize what an error that was. You know, I've also come to really appreciate older folks as I became one. I'm 64, and probably in my late 40s, I started really taking notice of the additional needs that older folks have. You know, not only mobility-wise, but just communication-wise and understanding what's going on. There's so many people that I run into now that are widows, widowers, that come into the dealership and say, "You know, my husband used to do all this. I don't know what I'm doing." And there is nothing that gives me greater satisfaction than to help somebody, make somebody feel comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. You know, if you're looking for that, I hope you can find it. I hope you can find it with the businesses that you do business with. You know, the predators that are out there, mostly online and on the phone. My mom, I got her phone fixed. It was not working for about 3 months. I didn't realize that. I always use her cell phone. And as soon as I got it fixed, the phone calls started. And predators trying to worm their way in and get some money. And, you know, I don't think that you see those in small business in East Tennessee or, you know, Southwest Virginia. I'm sure there are some crooks out there. You know, sometimes I see it in car dealerships sometimes where, you know, negotiation is still a big deal. And whether you get a deal on a car sometimes depends on your ability to negotiate right now. Knowledge is power, knowing what your car's worth, knowing what you can buy another car for, knowing what your credit is like. These are powerful things that give you leverage in a negotiation. I wish the car business was not a negotiating business. You know, I wish it totally depended on customer service, you know, your dealership experience, your inventory, you know, your location, that kind of stuff. I wish it didn't depend on whether there's a big blue monster balloon thing, you know, standing up in the front yard. That you didn't have the, you know, you didn't need floppy men, think you needed floppy men and balloons to get people to come in and buy cars. You know, that salespeople wouldn't become predators with the way that they behave and payment packing and all that stuff that happens. That's one of the reasons I do this radio show. I've been a car dealer I've been in the car business full-time since 1978. And as a rookie, I didn't know squat. I thought I knew, I knew a lot about the product, but I didn't know anything about selling and building value and the price-value relationship and understanding buyer behaviors and those kind of things. You know, people will lie to you. A lot of people think that car dealers or people in the car business are not truthful, and there are a lot of them that aren't. I think the vast majority are. And I think the vast majority of dealers would not have somebody working for them that they thought was dishonest. But there are some that do. And doggone it, you know it when you see it. I think sometimes people are just, you know, they don't see the signals, the signs that they're getting. So anyway, we were talking about motivation and what where it comes from. I've never been a great Tony Robbins fan, but I did really like something that I saw on YouTube not too long ago. He's talking about what things do we all need. And this list was fascinating to me. It's very simple, but I just thought I would pass it on to you. Number one, certainty. People need certainty. They also need uncertainty. You know, otherwise life would be extremely boring, right? You know, one of the things I see with a lot of older folks that come in here is they don't think anybody respects what they have to say. You know, I think family members do, but I think that there's a lot of people look at older people as that they can't make any kind of significant contribution, and it's such baloney. Significance is something that everybody needs. They want to feel significant. They need love. For sure, they need someone to love and somebody to love them. I think that's critical. And then growth. You need to be able to grow. If you're a young person in a job and you're looking for a career, you want growth opportunities. You don't want to stay put. Now, some people are totally happy staying put. That's where they get their certainty. That's where they get that feeling of security. And there is nothing wrong with that. But some people need to grow. And, you know, I think about how my knowledge or my love for history grew. I didn't ever think that I would be as interested in history as I am right now. And the car business has done a lot for me there because I love cars and I love the history of the automobile business, and it gives me a pipeline to explore that. And then finally, contribution. People want to feel like they are contributing to something. They have the need to contribute. You know, and I'm not just talking about dollars. Some of the best contributions that I have seen have not been in the forms of dollars. They have been in the form of time. And I heard something a long time ago said, nobody on their deathbed ever wishes they had spent more time at work. That allocation of time is so critical. And you know, one of the things I try to do is to get into a deep conversation with each of my employees at least a couple times a year. I know that sounds like not enough. When I say it, it comes out of my mouth. It says, Lenny, you should do that more often than that. And I do with a lot of folks. But just being able to sit down and say, you know, how's it going with you? How's it really going? And knowing your employees' names, you know, it seems frivolous or silly. But, I mean, when you have a big organization and you have a lot of people coming and going, it's easy not to be able to know everybody's names. But know their names, know their wife's names, their kids' names. The value of that is immeasurable. But anyway, I just thought that was a really good thing. You can look up Tony Robbins. Yeah, the title of the YouTube video is, After This, You'll Change How You Do Everything. So take a listen. I think you'll enjoy. You know, one of the things I don't like about new cars is the start-stop switch. The fact that vehicles will, when you pull up to a red light, the engine shuts off. Now, a lot of vehicles, you can't tell it. There's some people who say, well, I didn't know my car did that. It's so imperceptible. But to me, I notice it. You know, with the chip shortage that's been going on, it's really put a hurt on the industry. And if a manufacturer can reduce the number of chips required in their cars, computer chips, then they can produce more vehicles. And so one way General Motors has done this is that the stop-start technology will be gone for now, for non-diesel versions of several of their models, the Cadillac Escalade, the Chevy Tahoe, Suburban, and Silverado, plus the GMC Sierra and Yukon. I think you are seeing companies do this in order to, like I say, be able to maintain production. I've got so many vehicles right now that are sitting in storage lots. They have built a vehicle except for certain components, and they start them, they drive them out to a parking lot, and they leave it, they lock it up, and they come back, and when they get the chips, they will bring them back in and finish the cars and ship them. One thing they are not delaying right now is the Ford Bronco. So I'm anticipating within the next week or so, we will have our first real live Ford Bronco. Not the Bronco Sport, not some old Bronco, but the all-new Ford Bronco will be a gateway in the not-too-distant future, and I'll make sure that you guys know when it gets here. Ford made the wise decision that they couldn't put that vehicle off any longer. There's way too much demand, and people are there's 150 or 60,000 sold orders, and these people are waiting, and they will only wait so long. You know, they might just go buy a Jeep. That would be a tragedy. But anyway, the Bronco will be here, and I'll be sure and let you know. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you Monday morning.